Hello and welcome to NJBiz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is the president of the New Jersey Innovation Institute, Michael Johnson. Michael, welcome.
Welcome. Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time. I'd like to start this morning to talk a little bit about NJII itself. It's a corporation of the New Jersey Institute of Technology, established, if I recall correctly, in 2014 to sort of turn ideas developed at the school into stuff that works. That's kind of a shorthand description of it. So I wanted our viewers to hear from you how you would A, describe NJII, its relationship to NJIT, and particularly its relationship and its interactions with the corporate world. Start with the organization itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you touched upon, NJII is owned wholly by NJIT. And the reason for that is there's this problem in academia where you have this abundance of resources, abundance of smart people, of great ideas, but it's very tough for the outside world, whether it's private organizations or governmental agencies, to access those resources. And really, really intelligently, about 10 years ago, the leadership from NJIT decided, let's go ahead and build a standalone corporation called NJI that's going to leverage those ideas and allow industry and government organizations to access those resources. And that's what NJI is. NJI is the conduit between NJIT and the outside world. And the purpose of the organization is to try and help spur innovation in the state of New Jersey and beyond by leveraging those resources at NJIT. So that could mean helping faculty start a company. It could mean helping faculty connect their intellectual property with the outside world and work on a project together, or it could mean using the framework of NJI to go after projects and grants and contracts that a traditional academic institution simply can't go after. So it's a really unique model. It's a very innovative structure of how we work, and we're able to be very quick and efficient, which is tough for a lot of universities to do.
Right. It sounds like it. You sort of get the you sort of stand apart from the school, but you're connected to it. So and obviously you have the resources of NJIT. So what about the interaction with the corporate world? Do you talk to what should business executives, business owners know about NJII and what they can get from it, if anything?
That's a great question. So NJII is the front door to NJIT. So for corporations that want to work with students, that want to work on sponsored research, that want to work on projects, or have a specific question or need, such as leveraging AI to make their business more efficient, we are the front door to make that happen with NJIT. So to find the faculty, to find the staff, to find the right subject matter experts to help out with those projects, that's the role of NJI. We will structure those relationships, we'll work on those projects and pull us together and get all the right stakeholders in the room to make those things happen. So viewing us as the connector and the conduit to make those projects come to life, that's our role and responsibility.
Okay. Now, you took over as president last October. I think just before we came on, you said it was almost exactly 90 days.
Yeah, exactly. Just about exactly 90 days. Yes.
Okay. So, and you have experience in this kind of milieu that you were managing director at Visicol, which is a contract research organization that came out of Rutgers. I'm curious, what attracted you to NJII?
For me, I have a background educationally as a PhD, so very strong scientific background. I love science. Always since a little kid, I've always just loved science and STEM and building stuff and launching rockets and all that kind of things. And as a business owner and leader, so I started Visicol as a company out of Rutgers University, started it, founded it, built it, and then sold it. I was also very passionate about technology commercialization. So taking those cutting edge, crazy ideas and turning them into a product or a service that changes someone's life, or in the case of Visicol, potentially actually save someone's life. That to me is extremely rewarding. It's why you do science. So looking at NJI is this opportunity to harness this great resource of NJIT and bring technologies to the marketplace. A really powerful business model to do that. And for me, that was just an exciting opportunity to dig into that, to leverage those resources, and to bring lots of cool cutting edge ideas to life. That's just, to me, the pinnacle of science. And I'm so just passionate about science and hearing about the great ideas that I want to help get those into the world and turn into products. And I've had a lot of success doing that and really want to help with that.
Okay. So what's it been like at NJI? I mean, okay, only 90 days. Surely you've had a chance to sign up, get your feet wet. You know what's going on. You know where the coffee room is, all that kind of stuff. Has it matched your expectations? Are you getting what you thought you were going to get out of it?
You know what? Yeah, I met with the board of trustees. I met the board of directors. I had a lot of conversations before coming on board. And before stepping into the role, I was on campus for about 2 months, at least once a week, just meeting with faculty and staff and learning more about the role and organization. And I think what was most surprising to me about it was the impact of NJI in New Jersey over the last 10 years. It's an organization that I think a lot of folks haven't heard of, but the organization over the last 10 years has generated about $330 million in revenue. It has a staff of 120 people. It works on really high impactful projects across the state of New Jersey and beyond. And for me, that was one of my biggest lessons learned is it's this unkept secret in New Jersey that's growing, that's expanding, that's working on a lot of projects that we need to talk more about. So that's a big piece of what we're trying to do now is spread the word about NJI, how folks can work with NJI, what we're doing, and how they can engage. But yeah, no surprises so far. I'm just very pleasantly surprised about the work that's going on, the great team that we have here.
Okay. So what do you view as the most important aspect of your role? What's your biggest job there?
Yeah, the biggest job for NJI is trying to grow the organization because through scale, we can work on bigger projects, bigger grants, bigger contracts for whether it's the Department of Energy, Department of Defense. We can work on bigger contracts through getting bigger. So we have 120 folks on our team right now. We're trying to, as we look out to 2030, double the size of the organization. So overall headcount and also overall impact. So revenue as an organization. We're slated for this year to do about $40 million in revenue. We want to come close to doubling that by 2030. And that's by
Okay.
going after bigger projects, bringing in bigger opportunities, partnering with other universities. So not just standing alone as NJIT, but working with Rutgers, working with Rowan on multi-university projects and multi-PI grants across different universities and helping bring those in. And then also engaging with industry. We have engaged with industry a lot over the past, but we want to do that more going forward. We have a lot of great students and faculty and want to help leverage those to help companies in the tri-state area. So all those things, but I think the big overarching goal is focusing on growth and trying to grow the organization.
Okay. Now you mentioned a couple of things, Department of Defense and energy, and that goes to the sort of core areas that NJII focuses on. It's Homeland Security, healthcare. I'm not gonna. I'm blanking on the others, but I know that you have some core subjects that some areas that you focus on. Can you tell us anything about what's in the pipeline? What should viewers expect to see coming out of NJII and NJIT over the next several months or years?
Our four divisions today are healthcare, which is about 80% of our revenue. We have entrepreneurship, which is trying to help spur the creation of companies and then propel those companies along through acceleration. We have professional and corporate education, and there we're trying to help upskill workers in New Jersey for the next generation of jobs that are coming out. And then lastly, as you mentioned, is defense. And for us, those four divisions are what we're squarely focused on today. But as we're going into the future, we're looking at spinning up other divisions, focus more on manufacturing, focus more on design, and trying to leverage some of the resources at NJIT that we're not leveraging today. Another one, for example, is life sciences. We had built BioCentric, which is a cell and gene therapy manufacturing company in New Jersey through NJI. We built the company up from its founding. We sold it for $73 million. So with that sale, we exited the life science business. It's something we want to look to get back into in the coming
Okay.
years. So that's another vertical that we might touch upon going forward. But a
Okay.
lot of our focus is digging into the areas where we already have success and expanding those programs. We're doing a lot of great work across those four areas, and it's just digging into the work that we're already doing today.
Okay. Obviously, life science is critical to the New Jersey economy. How are you going to go about getting back into that, as it were? Is it just coming up with a great idea and commercializing it? I mean, what are you talking to people like BioNJ and some of the big companies? How does that go?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, New Jersey is a huge hub for life sciences and biotech and pharmaceuticals. For us, it's finding where we can actually add value, where we have resources at NJIT that are not being utilized, where do we have a good idea? BioCentric came from the fact that for small scale cell and gene therapy manufacturing, there weren't a lot of companies. We as NJIT had clean rooms, we had staff, we had the ability to fill this need in the marketplace. And we also had customers saying, we will give you money if you can do this now.
Okay.
So it was a market pull. And I think for us, we're looking for that market pull into where is that sweet spot in life sciences. Now, life sciences right now, with the way the macro situation works and where venture capital funding is, It's very bad. So we're looking at where do we get in? It's good to get in at a bad time and we propel ourselves as the market gets better. But where is that entry point? That's something we're still looking into and we're trying to field requests from different faculty on ideas. But we don't have an idea yet, so we're working on it.
Okay, well, we'll check back at some point. I'm curious as how, where NJI fits into the larger tech space in the state. I'm sure you're aware the Murphy administration makes technology and innovation central to its economic development plans. Innovation is in your name. So where does NJI fit into there? Do you have any relationship with the administration? Do you have ongoing conversations with anybody in the Murphy administration or the Economic Development Authority? How do you fit into what state policymakers are trying to accomplish?
That is a great question. So, yes, I'm sure you've seen the string of announcements around Helix and around Princeton's Innovation Hub.
That's and that's what I was thinking of, that all of these things that are happening, particularly Helix and New Brunswick and things like that. I'm curious as to where how you see yourself finding a place in that firmament.
I can't say too concretely yet, but we are having those conversations with EDA about where we fit in and what exactly the relationship will look like going forward. So we're actively having those conversations right now. I think where we play in that space is we are very well positioned in that we've been around for 10 years. So for starting something like BioCentric and building companies and trying to spur innovation, we as NGI already have all the pieces that do that. We already have the back office staff. We already have the largest incubator in the state of New Jersey. So we have all those pieces, and for us is finding the best way to do that going forward. So a teaser is that one of the plans that we have going into this year is launching a venture studio. So intentionally building companies within NJI, similar to what we do with BioCentric, and trying to replicate that, not just one, but can we create five, six, seven companies over the next 3 years using NJIT or NJI IP to build those and using all the back office support at NJI to actually support that effort. So building a venture studio from scratch is tough because you have to have all the people to support those companies before you even get started. We have all that in place. So we're in a really unique position to really spur innovation, and we are having those conversations. So hopefully we'll have something in the next couple of months here to update you on.
Okay, again, we will check back. That leads to the question overall about tech industry in New Jersey. I'm curious, do you think it's reasonable to expect that the industry to thrive in this state? Does the infrastructure exist here in all of its forms? Not, you know, we've heard all along about the great education system, but funding obviously is going to always be a difficulty. What do you think of the way New Jersey is sort of set up to take advantage of advancements in technology and to try to create the kind of innovation economy that the governor wants to do?
It's a very complex question that you touch on there, because if you look at all the work that's going on in the last 5, 6 years, there's been a tremendous push in the state for innovation. I was at a press conference when Murphy had the first banner of, I think it was the Economy of Innovation in the state of New Jersey. There's a big red banner behind us, and it was new. There wasn't a lot going on. And between that time, I think it was 7 years ago, and now, it's crazy. I mean, we have all these different innovation centers that are opening up, lots of new innovation spaces. We have Helix, we have SciTech City. There's all this great work that's going on in the state. And I
That's
think
in where you are, so or
yeah,
where
exactly. So it makes the assumption that if you put the spaces and money, that innovation will happen. And I think what's missing with that, though, is the culture. The culture of New Jersey is meaningfully different from San Diego or San Francisco or Boston, in that there is a tendency in New Jersey to be more focused on career and a traditional corporate career structure, not to go start a company in your garage and make zero money. I wrote an article about this a little while ago, where in New Jersey on Thanksgiving, if you tell your family, "I quit my job at, Merck or Pfizer and I'm starting a company," they'll think you're crazy. Where if the same conversation happens in San Francisco, you would be praised and your family would talk about how brave you are and how great it is. So the culture is meaningfully different. And that's why when we're doing things in New Jersey, we're keeping that in mind. So for example, with the venture studio that we're trying to launch, we're not going to go ahead and put a small, tiny amount of money into companies and hope the founders live on a couch somewhere, because it's not our culture. We're going to commit to these companies to bring in high-level talent that would actually leave a nice job in corporate America to run a company. So the culture is a bit different, and we're putting measures in place to account for that. So that is something that we're actively thinking about, and I think that that culture is going to change, but it's going to take some time because New Jersey is just different.
It's known as the home of Fortune 500 companies, which are a lot different than startups and early stage company. So I get what you're saying. I'm just curious. I just wonder how you change that culture. Does that come from the corporations themselves, from younger people coming up through and seeing the model in Silicon Valley and saying, yes, that's where I want to be, or is there some other sort of policy changes that need to come about?
Culture is so tough to change, and it's in New Jersey, we ask at NJIT, for example, we ask students, what do you want to do after you graduate? Most of the answer is going to be, I want to work at a Fortune 500 company. I want to make six figures. I want to have this, nice career. That's what they're shooting for. If you go to Berkeley or a school like that, they're shooting more for something aspirational. And it might be because of just the culture, where they're coming from, or what the ask is. So for us, it's designing programs to try and spur innovation and meet that culture. And the EDA has done some great work with this, with their fellows program, for example, where they're actually basically paying people to leave jobs to go start companies. And that kind of money allows that to happen. It spurs innovation. It does change the culture. It takes time. I think you have a few of those companies become successful, and then other people start to say, you know what, this is a viable option in New Jersey. This is something we can do, and there are support mechanisms to make it happen. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but there are good inroads to getting that to happen. The EDA is well aware of that and making programs to.
So is that your biggest challenge for you and for the organization, that changing that culture? If not, what do you see as the biggest challenge you face in meeting the kind of goals that you set out at the start of our conversation?
Oh, there's a lot of challenges to make that happen and to grow an organization. For us to do that, we have to grow about 10% a year for the next 6, 7 years to get to 2030 and that goal. To do that, it is having a pipeline of talent. It's having a pipeline of innovations to start companies, to build companies. We have to have ideas. And fortunately for us, our funnel for that is NGIT. And NGIT, over the last 10 years, has grown leaps and bounds as far as where it was and where it is for research and productivity. So that is very fortunate for us. And we're trying to help that along as much as possible, put translational programs in place to help researchers get their intellectual property from basic research to maybe an MVP they can actually take to market. So that for us will be a major pivotal point to make us successful, is helping NGIT continue to grow. And then as our funnel grows, we'll be able to better get those innovations to market, better partner with industry, and grow as an organization. So I'd say it's the funnel, it's the ideas and the people.
So what, given all of that, what are your priorities for the sort of near term here, for 2024? What are you anticipating? What are you planning for?
We're moving fast. The biggest thing for us right now is focused on our brand. We're trying to build the brand for NGI and have people know what it is, what our impact is, how they can work with us, how they can engage with us, how they can engage with NGIT through us. So we're going out, we're talking a lot about the organization, what we do, and how we do it. So that's a core, I'd say, short-term focus. Midterm focus is getting that venture studio stood up. We plan to do that in the next few months, actually setting up that venture studio and then start to evaluate ideas from NGIT, NJI, and also beyond. We're also looking at other universities and looking at other opportunities outside of universities to start companies, and then actually starting a few companies this year. So pretty ambitious timeline and target for that. But we would like to get a company or two started this year through that venture studio model at NJI.
And finally, before I let you go, we've mentioned a couple times that it's 10 years. Any plans for the anniversary? It's kind of a milestone.
We are going to do an event. Stay tuned again for that. So we are going to do an event, and a lot to talk about, and a lot to be proud of in that short time frame. So yes, there will be an event coming up. There'll be some announcements coming out about that, and we're excited. It's a big milestone for us.
Michael Johnson, president of the New Jersey Innovation Institute. I do hope you'll come back and tell us about the event and about the venture studio and all the other things that you've got going. I'd really like to hear some more about all of those things as they get going.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the time, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.